So, herzlich willkommen zu unserem Marketer Talk. And now we will switch to English language because we got a guest from the US, Adam Stamblak. He's president of Movable Inc., a MarTech company based in New York. Hi, Adam.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad I'm having you with us here. Just tell us, not all people in Germany know who is Movable Inc. and what they're doing other than you in the US. Just tell us something about Movable Inc.
Yeah, let me give you a quick little overview. So Movable Inc. is right now working with 600 of the largest enterprise customers in the world. And we're hyper-focused upmarket, primarily operating in North America, the UK, and the DACH regions. And we're working across all verticals from Amazon to Thalia and Victoria's Secret in retail, to Hilton, Holiday Check, and Virgin in travel, to American Express and all of the other big US and Canadian banks. And these companies are leveraging Movable Inc.'s core technology, which is known as Movable Inc. Studio product, to activate their data into personalized content and drive one-to-one personalization across email, mobile, and the SMS channels.
So it's about personalization, and which means more relevance to messages. And we got, everybody of us got enough messages. Tell us something about some examples of personalization strategies which your customers use.
Absolutely. So I mentioned Amazon, which everyone's familiar, and Amazon Music happens to be one of our best clients and most innovative clients that we work with. And when they came to us, you know, on their personalization journey, they had about 5 million newsletter subscribers, and they had data and insights of all of their listening habits, right? And they wanted to, you know, efficiently leverage that data and turn it into visually compelling email content, right? That's relevant across all of their customer base. And so how do you take all of those insights across millions of people and with smaller marketing teams, regardless of the size of your company, turn that into kind of one-to-one messaging? And that's exactly what Movable Inc. does. So within one template, you could have millions of variations of personalized content that everyone's seeing different pieces of content based upon their listening habits. And the other thing to be aware of with anything personalization, it all has to be automated, right? So you spend time setting it up, and then it has to be kind of always on and always updating at the moment of engagement.
I do understand it with music because you got different products, or you got a hell of a lot of different products. So it's easy to, or it sounds easy to personalize. But what is a company like Audible, for example, doing? They have only their hearing aids, and I think it's only one or two or very little. So how do they do anything with personalization?
That's interesting. So Audible, I think you're talking about a different Audible. So Audible is the ebook and listening company, right?
Okay.
Yes. So that's kind of Audible. So in a similar capacity, They understand all the different books that you're reading, that you're downloading, that you're browsing, and they want to be able to pull that data into their email and mobile channels. So again, that it's relevant, and they know that they're understanding the customers.
Okay. It was misunderstanding because I thought of another company who do hearing aids, and they have a similar name. Okay. But what about a company like you just mentioned, one of the banks? What is it with banking and insurance? What kind of personalization strategies can they do?
Absolutely. So think about a company like American Express or any of the big credit card companies, right? When you're spending, you know, on the credit card, and a major part of their goals is to increase your card spend. They want to constantly be showing you how many points you've earned on that credit card. And so again, Torsten, you're going to have a certain amount of points. I'm going to have a certain amount of points. And within that same email template or that same mobile message, everyone has to see their up-to-date points limit. And so if you spent something yesterday, you need to be able to see, okay, now how many points do I have? But it gets more intense than that, right? So now that I understand how many points I have, what offers are eligible to me to be able to leverage those points and take advantage of it? Can I use that on different, you know, Sky Miles programs? Can I book different hotels? Mm-hmm. Can I go shopping at different retailers? And so every message not only has to show your points, but it has to show personalized content for you to be able to see what offers are eligible to you. And so again, every marketing team needs to be able to do that at scale in the same templates that are always updated at the moment of engagement.
I see. What are the biggest challenges when you come to personalization?
Yeah, so I think at this point, marketers know the value and the importance of personalization. You know, most brands would say that their biggest challenges are the data requirements. And over the last few years, they've worked with different CDPs, the Segments, the Teliums of the world, Salesforce Data Cloud, or they've built their own data warehouses with the Snowflakes and Databricks and Redshift from AWS. And so, you know, they would basically say, hey, we've spent the last few years getting our data into a good place. Now we need to activate that into content. But we don't have creative teams that create millions of variations of content for us. So how do we do that? And that's where Movable Ink comes into play. It's taking their data and we'll turn it into millions of variations of that personalized content. The second major challenge is always the production process in email, right? Again, everybody, regardless of the size of the company, doesn't have enough resources on their team to create millions of variations or set that up, right? And so it goes back to what I was saying a few minutes ago, that anything you're doing in the personalization space has to be fully automated. And again, with Movable, we'll help you set it up, but then it's going to be fully automated. So of course, over time, you could update the strategy, the look, the feel, but it's got to be always on because marketers don't want to be going in every single day and trying to kind of update this. That just does not scale. And so I would say those are the two biggest challenges that the clients are facing.
Okay. What role does something like the age or the taste or whatever play, that you have different images or that you have different colors, that you know which person likes what? What role is this? Psychology, for example.
Yeah, it plays a huge role. Like you'd be surprised. And I know we're going to talk about AI, I'm sure. In every conversation I'm in, everyone wants to talk about AI. But that's where the AI is going to come into play, where it's going to be able to pick up all the different millions of facets of a human being and what they resonate best with, right? And there's just no way a marketer or a human can do that. And so that's where you're going to start to leverage things like AI to see what content and what different emotions and what different colors resonate with different people. And you'll be able to leverage that in a more automated fashion moving forward.
Well, how can you do the testing? How can you test if this is better or that A/B testing? Or how do you do a multivariate test? How do you do the testing?
Yeah, so I'll say this. I've been at Movable for 11 years now. Personalized campaigns almost exclusively beat out, you know, static content every single time, right? And that's not a surprise. If you see something that's relevant to you, you know that it's going to be, you know, higher engagement, higher conversion than something that's just a generic message for everybody, right? That's pretty common sense. But yes, you do want to hold out a test, right? And so you could leverage our creative optimization features within our platform so that you're testing multiple components of the personalization. How does some personalization work against other personalization? How does it work against static content? And you always want to be showing that lift internally, right? And so that's kind of with our studio product, and that's been in the platform since day one. You'll work with our teams to set up those tests, and they're automated tests. And then within our DaVinci AI platform, what it's doing is it's actually holding out a control on every single deployment for you so that you could see how the AI content performs versus the marketer-driven content. And okay. So you do want to be testing, and you do want to constantly be proving it out. But at a higher level, the more personalized the campaigns, the better they're performing almost every time.
Do you have any measurement for that? Because I mean, it's a hell of a job to personalize all the messages, and it would be much easier to do mass marketing. How do you measure the success of your personalization effort?
Absolutely. So I think I had mentioned up top, we work with Virgin and Atlantic, right? They're leveraging movable links to within behavioral personalization, right? So they create their content based upon behavioral content, and we're integrating it into different parts of their email program. So you abandon a browse, you abandon a trip destination. What's the customer's home airport? What's the real-time pricing? Whatever it may be, we're pulling that into the different campaigns. And that alone, when you're automatically know that, hey, Adam abandoned a trip that he was looking, and you bring that back into your email campaign, automatically drove a 420% lift in engagement and a 70% lift in conversion, getting them to complete their trip purchase. And so again, goes back to, you know, when you pick up these signals in real time and you're automatically pulling it in, it's going to have a huge impact on your program.
How long do you measure the different groups? That you have a group with personalization and a group without personalization. Do you do this for a week, for a month, or even for a year? Do you have any comparison in the long term?
Absolutely. That all depends upon the goal of the campaign and the goals of your program. And so something like an abandoned trip, like I just mentioned, you could be measuring in like real time, week to week, to say, hey, we didn't used to have that. We could have that now. Then you may want to be testing, hey, I set a goal to increase the amount of spend coming from my loyalty customers, right? And that you want to run for a longer period of time. So what did it look like when I wasn't pulling in loyalty points for 6 months, for a year? And what does it look like now, a year later? So it really is all dependent upon the campaign that you're running, the goals you're trying to kind of get to, and what you're testing. But all of that, you know, one thing you'll do is kind of, you could work with your teams to help set that up. Movable has strategy teams that are experts in the testing frameworks and methodology, and they'll show you kind of how to do that at scale to reach, you know, statistical significance. Everything you want to do, you want to come back internally and say, hey, this worked, and you want people to be able to buy off and believe that.
What's your feeling, or what do you know about the brand lift? Because if a company knows me and I see that they speak personally with me, it lifts the value of the customer relationship with that customer. So maybe in the long term, even in the brand perception, there's an increase. Do you have any figures about that?
I'm very passionate about this topic. So my background is in customer experience, right? And so I think this is one of the most important things for a brand to get right. Let me give you a real life example. You check into a Hilton hotel. If they know who you are, they know your preferences, they know what you want, all of a sudden you're being set up for a very enjoyable experience versus walking into a hotel, they have no idea, you know, what your preferences are and how you want to operate, right? That's a real life example. You want to then replicate that into your digital programs, you know what I mean? You want to get messages that are really personalized towards, you know, what you like to listen to, if it's music, what you might be interested in buying, if it's retail. And so it translates, you know, I always like to think about it like the in-person experience versus, you know, your digital experience. To me, the best representation of that is American Express, right? And you know, when you're using an American Express, and I actually found out last week when I was at OMR in Germany that it's not widely accepted. So I didn't know that. I'd like to change that here, but I found that out in real time. But when you're using an American Express, you know, you can know that everything you're doing is with trust, right? Every expense you do, it's going to be validated. And if you say, hey, that wasn't me, American Express takes that right off the bill and they figure it out on their own. they then replicated that in their digital program. So every email you get is highly personalized to you based upon your spend behavior on your card, based upon the type of card that you have and the programs that you use. And so I always love that example. To me, they're doing it really incredibly well. Delta Airlines is another one who does it really well in person, then will replicate that in the digital experience. And so those are the brands that I'll resonate most with, are the ones that could do it both in person and then bring that onto the digital experience.
Okay. Let us switch the subject and come from personalization to omnichannel or multi-channel, or whatever we call it. What is your experience? Which channel is best suited for which messages?
Again, that's going to be very brand specific, right?
Okay.
So there are a tremendous amount of companies where an email channel is going to be their best channel. Then you have some other mobile first type companies that I would consider, right? Where you're doing way more on the app than you are within other parts of the program. And so it's very brand specific. What's that?
Like, for example, which company?
Yeah. So for example, like, you know, to me, when I'm going to go back to like an Amazon Music, right? So to me, an Amazon Music, when you're listening to that, it's via your phone and via your app, right? You're going into the app, you're on your phone, you're connecting into your headphones, whether you're traveling, whatever, whether you're at the gym, whatever it may be. And so they have to get the mobile messaging very right. And when you're logging into that app, you have to see personalized content that's relevant to you. You have to see personalized recommendations. You have to see kind of where you left off last. That's a great example. Then you could have a bit more of a more traditional retailer. Let's say you're Victoria's Secret, it could be. And they have to replicate that in email, right? Their audience is also used to seeing that in email. They send those messages out daily. And Victoria's Secret also does a phenomenal job personalizing the content based upon your preferences and leveraging that data and now AI that they have available to them to get those messages right. So that's you know how you have to think about it at the brand level.
What do you have any experience with the frequency measuring by opt-outs? Because you just mentioned the telephone where when they sent me too many irrelevant messages, I say, okay, I don't want any more. And the same applies to email. On the other hand, every like Victoria's Secret, they want to send as many emails, as many messages as possible, because more messages means more money. So what is your experience in measuring the opt-out rate and including it into the segmentation of customers?
So what I would say is going back to the Victoria's Secret messages, they don't necessarily want to send more just to send more. They, to your point, want to get it right. How often should I send a message? How frequent does Adam want to get a message versus Torsten wants to get a message? And they have to invest to get that type of thing right. And they are, as are many clients. So a lot of clients now are leveraging AI to do send time optimization, frequency optimization. And again, that's a big advantage of leveraging AI to get better at your programs and to get more personalized. So how often should I send it? When should I send it? What channels should I send it on? You know, these things are all being developed and it's going to significantly improve the overall customer experience. Opt-out rates is a fantastic metric to look at, because if you start to see that you're sending too often and your opt-out rates are going way higher, you know you have to dig in. But again, it's not a blanket statement, right? And you have to do it at that one-to-one level, because I may enjoy getting a few different messages because it doesn't bother me and they're personalized to me, right? Or you may not want it. You may want once a week, right? And so in the past, people have had preference centers for this. People have done their best, but now it's becoming more automated to get those types of things right. And it's really important to invest to do that.
Do you have any example where companies try to improve that relevancy with your data?
Yeah, so we have, again, so with Movable, we have two parts of our platform. One is the content generation piece. That's what we call Studio. And now we have DaVinci, which is our AI platform. And that's newer, right? That's been out for a couple of years now. But all of those brands, at the heart of what DaVinci does is you're leveraging AI to determine what content that everybody should see, right? So the brands are uploading their on-brand assets, and then the AI is determining what content people should see. In addition, they are not just choosing the content, they're choosing the subject line that's generated with generative AI. And you could thumbs up, thumbs down how you think that works for your brand, but it's married up to the content. And then they're determining the send time and the frequency of those messages. And so we have a lot of customers leveraging the DaVinci platform to try to do all of those different things. Again, it's early in the AI space for everybody, and everyone's learning these things, but now this functionality is available to you. It's been available through some of the ESPs before, but again, in a bit more of a manual process than what's becoming available to marketers now.
In the times when everything was manually, I could check the messages which were sent. In a time where everything is automated, how do you check it? How do you have humans? And we do need humans to check because of hallucination. How do you check it? Do you have personas who really exist and who are human beings who get certain messages? Or how do you check this with the humans?
It's a great question. And so everything we talk about with our customers, we talk about it and we call it marketer and the machine, right? So you cannot right now and probably forever, like you could have the AI pick up, like I said, all these different signals that a human just wouldn't be able to pick up in real time. But a marketer is going to need to measure the reporting, to your point, right? And that reporting has to be available to you. They have to be able to understand that reporting so that if they could change it, they have to manage the brand guidelines, the rules, the regulations. All these enterprise brands need an enterprise level workflow, right? They can't just use random chat GPT. That's just not how it works. Like they have rules and guidelines to protect their brands. And so all of those different features and functionality have to be available to you. And with Movable, we do everything you're asking within our reporting platforms, right? And so that you could check what content did people see, what's resonating with this specific segment of the audience that you sent to, and how often, are they checking these messages and what is the performance against that? And so the reporting does have to be robust. And to your point, humans have to be able to understand that.
Okay, let's go to the subject line, which is very, very important for opening the email. A more provocative subject line could lead to more opens. On the other hand, there are numerous different options to make a subject. Do you check them all manually, or can you check them automatically? It's impossible. Either is not possible. How do you do that?
Yes. So I think the best thing to do, you're 100% right. So there's been companies that have been around for a while now that would create AI-driven subject lines. One of the biggest pieces of feedback you would always hear is that, to your point, they might be provocative, but they're not on brand, right? And yes, they may get you to open that email, but it will have at the risk of your brand reputation. And so they have to kind of pull those things back. And so now, the AI is getting smarter and smarter where you're uploading your brand guidelines and the AI is able to say, hey, I'm able to follow that. You're able to upload, this is where the human element comes in, the rules of what type of subject line should be generated, what type of content should be generated, because it has to follow the brand guidelines and what you want and what you don't want. And that's up to the human. My recommendation for companies is to do it a bit right now to get started that with leveraging AI for a handful of subject lines, right? Make sure you're getting comfortable with how it's operating at first. Pick a certain part of your audience that you want to be deploying that to. Check it, make sure it's good. And then you're going to build up that confidence. The AI is going to get smarter and smarter where you're getting a little bit more comfortable taking your hands off the wheel and then deploying the AI driven to millions of variations of people. Mm. But again, even the millions of variations isn't happening at that subject line level. Usually there's 5 to 10 that you could get comfortable, 20 at most. You want to make it digestible so that you feel like when the message is going to deploy, that it is relevant enough where you can check it and feel comfortable.
Okay, so I got it right that it's not a million of subject lines, but it's a limited number of subject lines which can be checked manually also. Did I get that right?
I think that's right. And I think that's the best way for any marketer now who's starting to test AI to get comfortable is you don't have to jump in and do it with everything. Pick an audience that you could test with, right? Pick an audience that you can be more dynamic with, and then leverage these new features and functionality that are available to you. It's all about change management, right? Once you get more comfortable, then take on a different division and try it on. And you're going to get more and more comfortable until you say, hey, this works incredibly well. I get how this is operating. And now let me take that hand off the wheel and let the machine do what it does. But again, my recommendation is you don't jump in. Nobody's ready for that, especially at these big enterprise organizations. Do it slowly and do it thoughtfully and get more and more comfortable. It's change management, and that's the best way to operate.
Absolutely. Now, let's stick a little bit to the subject line, because you just said, okay, I have a limited number, controllable number of subject lines. On the other hand, all these, they will wear out. I mean, they're getting boring. So you need a constant innovation and constantly something new. And this can be automated. Probably you do this. Do you have a measurement where a subject line tells me I'm 100% brand guideline conform, or I'm maybe only 80%, but it's risky, but it could be very good. You know what I mean? So take the risky subject lines, but measure them and tell me, do you want, the decision is with me, not with the AI. The decision, if I want to go the risk to have a headline, which is maybe a little bit difficult.
100%. That's totally up to the marketer, right? And this is the human element to this, right? Okay. That some brands are going to be more conservative. That's totally fine. If you're working with a luxury brand where brand is everything, they aren't going to be, overly provocative. They're going to protect that brand at all costs. And so this is where you need the marketers to be able to determine, what is your brand? What is your brand voice? What are your brand guidelines? Whoever you're working with has to be able to put that into the platform so it understands that. It can't just throw it, not every brand is the same. Then you may have maybe some of these more D2C startups that could take bigger chances, and they may want to be more provocative. Maybe that's a bit more of their brand, and then they could have at it. But each brand is going to be unique. That's why you're going to need marketers involved in this at all stages. And I don't foresee that going away. And you need technology that understands brand voice and guidelines and all of that. It's not going to be a one size fits all. This is why, an enterprise AI solution is going to be different than what like a ChatGPT is right now, right? Because a ChatGPT, sure, any individual could use it. And even marketers, by the way, are using it to help them create content and subject lines, and they should. But then they have to review it, update it, and make sure it is on brand for their, for whoever they're working for.
Alan, one of the last questions. In which areas will AI bring the greatest changes?
Yeah, so let's go back to something we were talking about earlier. I think it's going to be huge for customer experience, right? I think it's going to be building stronger connections that truly understands what makes kind of each person in your audience tick. It's going to help marketers not just kind of meet their needs today, but anticipate what their customers want tomorrow. I think it's going to help make every experience feel more personal, more thoughtful. And so that to me is what resonates the most with me. And then the other thing you'll see here from a marketer perspective is productivity, right? It's going to enable them to focus their energy on strategy over execution. if you speak to email marketers now, mobile marketers now, so much of their job is stuck in execution, and they have to log on during the weekend and set up these campaigns. I mean, this is going to get so much easier. It already is, like when you're leveraging like a DaVinci platform. And so, you know, I think from a customer experience and a productivity perspective, you are going to see two big improvements. And the last one that comes to mind, and these two things kind of go into the third one, is your financial performance, right? It's going to effectively make it so that you're personalizing the content so well that you're going to see an improvement in clicks, conversions, revenue. It's going to allow the marketers to target customers so much more precisely. It's going to be able to optimize these campaigns better in real time, make data-driven decisions. And so, you know, I think you're going to see in those three areas, customer experience, productivity, and financial performance, huge, huge gains for marketers. And it's an exciting time for sure.
Absolutely. And that sounds like a paradigm for marketers. Thank you very much, Adam. Is there anything you want to add as the last word of this talk here?
Only that I enjoyed meeting you in person at OMR. I thought that was a phenomenal conference, and it was wonderful to be in Germany with the team here, and our Munich team, everybody from our Munich team was in Hamburg. So it was a really wonderful week all around, and just excited about the opportunity in the DACH region.
Thank you very much. And I'm very excited to meet you again in Cologne, where we have the Demexco, and surely you will be there with some more new German customers. Thank you, Adam.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much for having me.